Okay.
Yeah.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's owning or a new point, calling with your new point compared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, the brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things here. We've been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who we been the keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like. Collective Minds.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace. What's going on, family? This is your boy, Brother Kev.
Yes, Sister Rigel.
What's up? Peace and blessings. It's Mufasa Ra in the building.
All right, and we are Collective Minds Radio, back for another week. Hopefully to have some stimulating conversations with the family. Give us a call. This is not a spectator sport. The number at Collective Minds is 929-477-1697. And before we get started, y'all, how was y'all week? And do we got any announcements?
My week was great. Won't complain. And no announcements. Well, yeah, I do. I just want to thank everybody for coming out. We had an awesome show last night with the Spinners and Miss UV Hayes. It was awesome, off the chain. So all right. Support her. Go to any digital download stores and get her new single, Basement Party.
All right, clap it up, clap it up. My brother Mufasa, you got any announcements for us?
Hey, everything was blacktastic. Shout out to Minister Farrakhan and the whole Nation of Islam family on the Day of Atonement weekend. Beautiful weekend in Detroit, Michigan. Farrakhan did a whole 2-hour spiel today. So, again, shout out to him and shout out to the Nation of Islam family. Also, shout out to Brother Kanye for what he did at the for his trip to the Oval Office. I know a lot of people was on his head about it, but me, myself, I congratulate the brother. I think he did a fantastic job. And with that being said, that's it for me.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And do I have any announcements? Well, my week was good, as always. You know what I'm saying? The week was good. Now, I do got an announcement. I don't know if y'all heard the story about the brother in Milwaukee that I wanted to just shed a little light on, who it was a young student. I think he goes to the University of Wisconsin, I believe, or some school in Wisconsin, maybe Milwaukee. And he ended up having a threesome with two girls, consensual, you know, according to his word. And there's also texts and stuff of him receiving from the girls after he had the threesome. But long story short, they trying to charge this brother with rape. You know, actually, they charged him with rape, so they're trying to convict him of rape, saying he raped these women. I guess it came out days later, and one of the girls or both of the girls saying they was raped. So we have to really be careful because, I mean, this is one young man. Like, how do you rape two women at the same time? You know what I'm saying? So you really have to explain that. But look this case up, y'all. We need to keep our eye on it. They're trying to get a brother like 40 years, I believe, for raping these two girls that, you know, of course he says it was sensual, and there's also text and other evidence that says it was consensual. So, you know, just be on the lookout for that. And without further ado, we are going to get into the show. It should be a good one today, family. Again, this is Collective Minds Radio, Not a Spectator Sport. Give us a call. We want to hear your thoughts. The number is 929-477-1697. And with Mufasa, speaking of Kanye, we talking about his boy Trump today. So we're asking the question, is Trump making America great for all Americans? Okay, so give us a, we want to hear your opinion. We're asking the question, is Trump making America great for all Americans? Kanye just went to the Oval Office and, you know, did his little spiel and touched on a few things. We probably get into that as well. But I guess we're going to start with Rigel Starr. What do you think? Is Trump making America great for all Americans? And we're going to go through our spiel, y'all, and we're going to get to the call lines in a second. But Rigel, how do you feel about that question, man?
I can't say for myself that he is making America great for all Americans. That's not my experience. I say no to that. I don't think so. Not within my experience. I know he attempted to say, I know with this whole Kanye thing, I think they talked about maybe switching it up, but his slogan was making America great again. But I don't think he's making it great. I think he is trying to take it back to the way it used to be, not necessarily saying that that was great, but I don't think he's making it great for all Americans. Not in my experience. You guys may feel different.
Oh, okay, indeed. All right. Mufasa, how do you feel? Is Trump making America great for all Americans? Is he making it great again? I know we talked about that again, but is he making it great? How you feel, bro?
Well, let me go ahead and get it on out there off my chest. All right, when it comes to Donald Trump, I'll say, the jury's still out, but as I look at his, you know, over this past year and a half, almost 2 years, what he's done, I'm going to say, yeah, he is better in the country, especially when, in my opinion, when it comes to the foreign policy, because I think America did have to show itself as being strong, and it ain't taking no mess. That's how you get the respect of other foreign dignitaries, like, you know, your boy from North Korea. So when Trump took a hard stand with him, like, and went back and forth with the wordplay and let him know that we ain't backing down, I think that showed America as being strong. He represented America as being strong. And you have to be strong so people don't try to bully and push you around. People say that him meeting with, you know, all these different black entertainers and stuff is a ploy or whatnot. I think it's beneficial because 8 years of Obama being in office, and any entertainer that went to talk to him or sit down with him, all I saw was a lot of entertainers doing photo shoots. I didn't see anything that really led into doing benefit, because I got to speak for the black community since I'm black. I can't see anything that came out of that term, out of both of those terms, that benefited black people. So as far as with Trump go, the jury's still out, but I think he's off to a good start, sitting down, speaking with black entertainers, and trying to get some things accomplished. When he signed that bill into law to honor Frederick Douglass, I thought that was a big thing for black people. And, you know, I'm going to slow down. I ain't going to keep going because I know we got guests on. So I'll pause right there and we'll get back into it later.
All right, indeed.
And then
indeed.
let me say something real fast too, Brother Kevin, because I know Mufasa touched on like the toughness of America. I think America has always showed its toughness. They always strong-armed everybody. So I just thought that's something that needs to not be left out. So that's not
America
really nothing that's changed. That's never really changed, that he's doing that to me. So maybe later on, as you know, we continue the conversation, we can hear more examples of it, because that toughness part, I think they've always been, you know, the biff of everybody. So.
Right, indeed. Good point. So, yeah, give us a call, family. We're talking about, is Trump making America great for all Americans? The number is 929-477-1697. Now, when I approach this question, first off, I need to establish, you know, three things about this, right? Number one, I'm not emotional about this subject. I'm trying to be as logical as possible. Now, I may be passionate about the conversation. You see what I'm saying? Because I like having these type of dialogues and conversations, but that is not emotions, right? Point number two, I'm not a Republican, nor am I a Democrat. I think both of them are the same thing. They put on a show for the people, but secretly, you know, they friends behind the line. They go to each other's bar mitzvahs and birthdays and kids' birthdays, holidays, vacations. So Republicans and Democrats are both part of the same agenda, you know. So with the fake outrage that the Democrats show, Trump, I'm predicting here and now on Collective Minds Radio that he will be the next president in 20. Well, he'll be the president in 2020. He'll get reelected. Number three, I don't hate Trump. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't hate Trump. I like to observe. I watch. I don't think, you know, everything should be blamed on Trump, like he's the only racist or he's the only bad person in America. I think a lot of times people can get caught up and they can point the finger at Trump as if there's not a system in place that was well in place before Trump even became the president. You see what I'm saying? And I'm aware that the president is really just a CEO of a corporation, basically a figurehead. And a messiah role. Okay, so I just want to establish those three things so it's not misconstrued on that. So is he making America great for America? It's kind of hard to say because when you deal with the president, a lot of the policies that are put in place are for 5, 10, 20 years down the road. You see what I'm saying? For example, they're just now talking about prison reform based on policies that was put in by Carter, Reagan, and Clinton. You see what I'm saying? Most notably Clinton. So, and here we are 20, 30 years later talking about prison reform for the policies that those presidents have put into place. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of the things when we ask the question, is he making America great for all America, it's kind of hard to tell because we living in that time right now, if that makes sense. So what we do then is go to, okay, we look at his domestic policy and we look at how he's doing with foreign policy, right? Domestically, he ran on immigration. He ran on build the wall. And we know that, you know, families are being separated from their children and children being separated from parents. We know that's been going on. A lot of people say that was going on during when Obama was president, which is probably true. That's why I say the president is a figurehead that is the head and the spokesperson for these policies. But Donald Trump also has a boss, also has advisors and people he has to check to. You know what I'm saying? He ran on building a strong economy, bringing jobs back, and funding more police. That was basically kind of his foreign lineup. That was his domestic lineup. You see what I'm saying? So you know, you can gauge either way how you feel about how he's doing with those things as far as immigration, building a strong economy, bringing jobs back. He talked about the steel and more funding for police. Okay, then when you talk about foreign policy, like Mufasa touched on, you talked about he had to show a strong stance. Remember he dropped that mother of all bombs in Afghanistan, which was like a show of force. He basically dropped a bomb in the middle of nowhere, basically to show that America was a force. He did have a meeting with North Korea. They had the thing in Syria when they had the tear gas. And, well, the chemical weapons attacked, and he went into Syria for a little bit. I don't know. This was at the very beginning of his administration. And also there's been a lot of Russian, quote-unquote, collusion and talk going on with this administration as well. So, again, you have to judge how you think he's doing on the foreign side. Now, we're going to get to the callers in a minute because I'm going to save some more stuff. But I do got some, you know, some more points to make on this issue. But I just wanted to break it down like that because a lot of times these policies we're not going to see affected until years down the line, and we'll see the results of those. So I just wanted to put that out there, and we'll get to the call lines. The number is 929-477-1697. It's Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about, is Trump making America great for all Americans? Now, what we're going to do this time on Collective Minds real quick, we want to get the callers. We want to keep your comments at least to 5 minutes. That way we can give the host the chance to respond, and we can get as many callers as we can in. We'll also, you know, we'll dialogue and come back, but we want to keep each response to 5 minutes or less, and I will prompt you when you have a minute or 30 seconds left to finish up your point. Okay, so did you want to get to the call lines, Roger?
Okay, and I know we have both guests on too. So, do we want to bring them both in, or do we want to do individually for the guest, the special guest?
We can bring them both in, I guess. Bring them both in and have them come in and, you know, just, I guess, go with the question. We don't have to play around. We can have them answer the question, get them 5 minutes apiece. Then we can respond and then go from there. So let's bring them in.
Okay.
We have some special
so
guests.
Yeah, we have our special guest on with us. You there?
Hello, yes.
Art?
Hey, peace,
okay.
Carl,
yes.
Peace.
Hey, let me give him his proper introduction. On this caller that we got here, he is an independent thinking man with 20 years of experience serving on the front lines for this country, the United States of America. He goes by the name Zenathon, but we're going to call him Zen for short. So what's up, Brother Zen?
So I like this topic. I was listening to Brother Kev talk, and I want to give my little introduction as well into my ideas on Donald Trump, the president of our United States. Again, I'm not a very empathetic individual, not on an individual level, but I am I do get emotional when it comes to my country because of the sacrifices I've made and I've seen my comrades and people in our history make for this country. I'm going to do my best today to stay civil and have this dialogue move forward in a professional way so that everybody can get an understanding of what our president is doing for us as a nation. A lot of people want to ball this up into, like, what's he doing for me? But we have to remember that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, that is the U.S., not the president of us, as in us. So he has a national interest.
That's right.
And his ideas and his things that he's doing, the things that he's putting in place are for our country. And they might not affect us on an individual basis, but as Brother Kev pointed out earlier, that we see these things over time. We're now combating things that were put into place, like you said, with the Ford, the Carter, the Johnson, you know, and the Bill Clintons and Bush, President Bush Jr., things that they put into effect. We're dealing with those today because they weren't thinking about tomorrow when they put them in place. They're thinking about what makes their constituents happy that day. But Donald Trump is working on what is going to make us better as a nation in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's going to, and it creates like a panic for the people of today, because
mm-hmm.
it's going to involve sacrifice. And a lot of Americans don't know how to sacrifice anymore. They've been catered to
That's
so
it.
Long because they're American. So we have to,
right,
we have to
Brother
really
Zane.
Have a, we have to look forward.
Brother Zane, before you really go in hard, we're going to bring in our other special guest as well. And let him give a brief introduction, then we'll let you go in.
Okay, he's on with us.
Brother Priyanki, are you there?
Hey. Yeah, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey brother. I was waiting on you to call me earlier, man. I wasn't sure if
I
you
did call
hear
you earlier.
You should have texted me or left me a message.
Well,
right.
Anyway,
we got.
Well, it is what it is.
Glad to have you on. That's right. It is what it is. Go and give us a quick breakdown, real quick, and so we can get this ball to roll.
Well, no, you know, I'm from the St. Louis area. When you look down on the St. Louis skyline, you see buildings up put up, Clayton skyline. I mean, there are bridges you drive across every day. We erected those too. But no, I appreciate this president. I never have seen a person in his position, a president, stick to the campaign issues like he has done. Your last president didn't do that. In many cases of the time, we can make comments, like with the Armenians, for instance, who wanted to have a genocide to be recognized with the ordeal they went through with the Turks, basically, which is now Turkey. But with and how is he affecting... well, take something simple, like the 529 plan, your college savings plan. That can now be used in public and private schools, private high schools, from K to 12. And, you know, I'm a school choice person myself. I believe parents have the right to put their child where they feel is best for them. It goes along with their overall education outcomes and goals. So that there is one way how it's helping. Tax reform, another. During the Obama administration, taxes on personal income went up 39.6%, which was totally, you know, a shocker. But he had came along and lowered those taxes. He wanted to have 15% tax rate on corporations, but they had to sell for 20 or 21 from the previous 35%. That there is a heck of a reduction, and it's good for new business startup. On your show, you talk about that blacks need to start their own business. Well, you're going to have much more of a chance of surviving paying 21% rather than 35%. Plus, you can expense your capital improvements much faster than you could before. I'll stop right there. I got list after list after list.
There you go, Brother K.
Okay. Indeed. Indeed, indeed. Appreciate it, Carlos. Appreciate y'all guests. Just real quick, Collective Minds Radio, y'all give us a call. Number is 929-477-1697. And we are talking about, is Trump making America great for all Americans? Or
facts.
Another thing we have to look at is, like I say, with as far as the policies, because this is what, you know, average Americans or people need to understand. You can actually go online to whitehouse.gov and you can pull up a lot of his policies. You can pull up executive orders he's signed. All these things are public information and readily available. I'm hearing some noise in the background, so if you could mute your line if you're not speaking, please, that'd be great, just so we could keep the quality of the show going. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so all this information, you know, you can go on whitehouse.gov, which in every administration, every president, they put this information out there basically to let the public know what's going on. So those stats and executive orders and things that have been signed are readily available for everyone to look at, right? So that's one measure that people can do their own due diligence to do their own research. Now, another measure that you can look at is what is his approval rating, right? Because that's supposed to be a poll taken in real time over a quote-unquote demographic or small sample size or sample size of people. You can look at the approval rating. Right now, Trump approval rating is below 50%. Although it's rose, you know, according to some polls, 5% in the last month or so, it's still below 50%. You see what I'm saying? Now, that's one measure, and you can take that number with a grain of salt. I'm not saying polls are good indicators. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying this is just the numbers of what they show. His approval rating is less than 50%, and it's even less than that internationally. You see what I'm saying? Also, the president is judged by his image, by his persona, by the way he talks to the public, how he's perceived, you know, response to natural disasters, response to, you know, natural emergencies, and so on and so forth. You see what I'm saying? And the people typically, you know how they say it starts from the top down. When you have a president, since the president is the figurehead and also the quote-unquote messiah, in a sense, if you do the science on the president, they use the messiah motif in order to push that image. You see what I'm saying? So when you look at Trump as a leader and you look at how the country is polarized, I think it's clear to say that he is not doing a good job. People are more divisive. You see what I'm saying? You have videos of people calling the police on black folks for just being black. You got people in restaurants going at each other. Just the other day in Portland, you got Antifa and these far-right Proud Boys fighting. You see what I'm saying? There's demonstrations and things that we're not privy of that go on every weekend, it seems like, with these conservative alt-right guys. I mean, let's look at Charlottesville. You got a person killed. Like, these are things, as you see, the breakdown of a society. So those are indicators to me that he's not doing a good job of leading. You see what I'm saying? What he's doing is talking to a small, small demographic of people, and he's promoting his agenda to them while isolating a whole other group or other groups he's isolating. And you can see that in his speeches. You see what I'm saying? I watch his speeches. He was just in, I forgot where he was just at, but, you know, you just pay attention to the way they speak and the persona and what he gives out to the people. And I think as far as his communication skills and relaying a message to all Americans, I mean, I think it's clear that he's doing, you know, a terrible job with that.
It is what it is.
1 minute. I've got about 1 minute. I'm going to wrap it up. Yeah. Like I said, we look at Charlottesville, what happened there. And he said, oh, it's good and bad on both sides. Really? You see what I'm saying? One person died there. He also talked about countries in Africa being shitholes. He talked about Maxine Waters having a low IQ, the way he talks to people, the language he uses. I mean, for a president of the United States, he's really degrading this particular position or seat. You see what I'm saying? He's basically degrading the Oval Office, you know, for what it is. So I think in terms of that, if we want to measure him by his image and persona and how he's perceived in the public, I think he's doing a terrible job of uniting the country, and I think it's more divisive than anything. You know, so I'm gonna leave it right there. If you want to respond, Raiju or Mufasa, then we can let the guests respond if they want to respond to that.
Not me. I want to hear Zen and Bianca. Go ahead, Tony.
I can just add something quick to it, because that's kind of where I stand as well, as far as just his behavior. I don't want to judge him, his character, just as a person or a human, because that's not the point of the topic right now. So it's more so for me, I'm concerned that his behavior just does not seem to be that of a president of a country. I just don't think the quality that he gives America as a president, I just don't think he meets those standards as a president. He's too high-headed. So those types of things concern me. So when you mention those things, Brother Kevin, that's kind of where my issue is with him. It's not about the laws and all those things. I'm saying that those are not important. But for me, that's not what I'm criticizing. I'm more so concerned about his behavior and how he represents himself. And it just doesn't seem like he's president, like he's qualified personality-wise to be. He doesn't seem capable to run a country. He seems like he's not balanced enough. You know, I'm concerned he'll get mad because somebody didn't close the Frosted Flakes up and go blow the whole country up. He just seems off balance. So those are my concerns when I speak about him being, or not me wanting him to be a president. And I just wanted to add that.
Indeed. So let's ask, I guess, Zen. Let's ask Zen directly. Now, do you think Trump is making America great for all Americans? It's on you.
Sorry, I had to come off mute there. So,
no problem.
He is working, yes, towards making America great for all U.S. citizens. Notice I say U.S. citizens, citizens of the United States, people that are born here or have legally gained nationality to this country. As I pointed out in the beginning when I spoke, and I am well aware of this, that it takes sacrifice. So in the beginning, not all U.S. citizens are going to feel like America is becoming great, because change is hard. Just like Rigel was talking about, she doesn't believe that he is presidential material because of his behavior, but he is the president. Therefore, that is now presidential behavior, and her mind must bend like the trees in the wind or she'll snap. So we have to be understanding and able to adapt with our situation. This man is the president. He's neither Democrat nor Republican. He ran on the Republican ticket, but he's not a Republican. He's a populist. His actions do not align with the Republican Party nor the Democratic Party. That's why he gets so much heat on both sides. That's why when you're talking about the Charlottesville incident, Donald Trump is neither alt-right or Antifa. He's neither Republican nor Democrat. He's not a racist. He's not a Black Lives Matter person. He's right there in the middle. He sees it as a human. He sees it as, yes, there were bad people on both sides. Because the person that died in there, she got hit by a car that was being attacked by a bunch of Antifa people. And that guy felt unsafe, so he tried to get away. And in trying to get away, he hit her because they were making him unsafe and damaging his property. So you can't just throw that out there and say that this woman was killed so everybody on the other side was bad. You have to look at the whole context of the situation. He was being attacked. He was trying to get away from the situation. They were not letting him get away, and someone died in the incident. So when we look at it, you have to look at all of the context. Donald Trump, our president, the president of the United States, you can stand behind him and prop him up. You don't have to look at him as deus ex machina. He's not some sort of god inside of the machinery of our complex political system that has been designed for generations to bring America down to its knees so it can join the global community and be run by a few elites. Donald Trump is not that guy. Donald Trump is just a human who doesn't want to see that happen to all of America because he enjoys the independence of being an American, as I enjoy the independence of being an American. Because if we let the politicians have their way and we let them, and we vote Donald Trump out and we don't pay attention to the people that he's saying, we don't pay attention to the people that Donald Trump says will help out the national agenda to remain America as a nation, we will, as a people, lose our independence, our ability to have free thought and be free. Because the Democrats and the Republicans, as you said, are going a general direction, and our president, Donald Trump, is bucking that. Therefore, the established media and the established politicians are doing everything that they can to cast him in the worst light possible so that the low IQ people, so that the people that are apathetic, and so that the people that decide not to do any research whatsoever past CNN and past the newspaper will just say, well, I got my fill for the day. Donald Trump sucks again. So therefore, let's go back to our old political system and continue careening into this wall that we're driving towards at 70 miles an hour.
All right. Indeed, indeed. All right. Indeed. Thank you, caller, for that response.
It is what it is.
Hey, y'all, this is Collective Minds Radio. We having a great discussion on, is Donald Trump making America great for all Americans? Before we get to our other special guest, because I do want to get his response, let me just clear something up. The Charlottesville attacker is James Alex Fields Jr. Now, the previous caller said that he was being attacked and he ran to get away from Antifa being attacked. Well, the federal courts indicted this man for hate crime charges. Okay, so those are the facts. Now, whatever story he came up with why he ran over or ran into that crowd, and I believe there's video, so, you know, people can do their own research as far as that goes, but this man has been charged for a federal hate crime, which I tend to think that it was a hate crime. I don't think he was trying to get away. He was ran them over because they were protesting, and he felt like he could run them over. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
let's not stay on the facts.
Right, exactly. I just wanted to put that out there because we cannot just go with, you know, we can't just put anything out there without the facts. This man was indicted on a federal hate crime. So obviously, whatever he said happened, the court did not believe. Okay. Now, I guess our other special guest, I want to hear your response to, you know, is Trump making America great for all Americans? And if you could give us some examples of how he's doing this, just so, you know, I can be clear.
Well, let me say this. And as far as the guy that was charged, he was charged but hasn't been convicted. He is allowed to have due process, like we see they was trying to take away due process from Judge Kavanaugh. And you also had an individual in Central Park in New York that used the same tactics to use a vehicle to run people down with. Now, as far as Donald Trump put in an executive order where school districts does not have to heed to this transgender, where you're a boy in the morning and you're a girl from 12 until quitting time. So if you are biologically a male, you go in a male bathroom. I remember back in the time when America was great, my daughter could go in a public bathroom and I wouldn't have to worry about a male coming inside the bathroom taking out his penis, where in the bathroom you can't say that you are exposing somebody because you're supposed to take your penis out in the bathroom. Whereas if you were outside the bathroom in the public, then you're subject to charges. That's just one example I have when America was great. And okay, I don't care about his.
When was this? I am. I'm going to let, but I need to know when America was great so I can get a date. Can you give a
Well, when
year,
I was in
decade?
High school, when I was in high school, going to O'Fallon Tech in St. Louis in the late 60s, we didn't have that. In the 70s, the 80s, that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case where school districts, and you know, school districts didn't have to adhere to that for fear of having. Of their funds taken away from them, the $8 taken away from them. I think it is totally asinine to hold that over a school district. But I've seen the same thing come from Obama and Hillary Clinton with countries in Africa, Liberia, Nigeria, Zambia, Kenya, where they say if you want these $8, then you're going to have to open up to same-sex marriages and also abortions unchecked. And you know, it's a funny thing. Well, I'm not going to even go there. Now, let me tell you something else. Look at the manufacturing plants that when you do a Google search under tax reform and tariffs, new manufacturing, all these companies are popping up. Paper mills in Arkansas, textile mills in Arkansas, textile mills in Louisiana, Toyota Mazda in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Mercedes-Benz in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Those black parts of the South. Samsung Appliance in South Carolina, LG Appliance in Tennessee, LG Appliance in New Jersey. Here in the St. Louis area, you got some noise in the background.
Yeah, we hear that. Is that your line? Okay. Indeed, family, this Collective Minds Radio, if you're just joining us, we are discussing, is Trump making America great for all Americans, for all Americans? Did you want to respond, Mufasa, Rigel Starr?
Well, I ain't finished.
No, I want him to finish what he's saying. Let him finish.
Okay, go ahead. I mean, I was listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, the noise, because of the noise. But you got aluminum plant, Century Aluminum in Kentucky, Brady Aluminum Plant in East Park, Kentucky, Narvis Aluminum in Todd County, Kentucky. Bourne in St. Louis just won a $9 billion contract to produce planes. Well, what is one of the major components in military planes, and planes period? Aluminum. So now they don't have to think about having imported aluminum. That aluminum can be made in the United States as it will be, putting Americans to job. Every time I do a project over there at Anheuser-Busch, either putting in lauder mills or putting in new powerhouses at Anheuser-Busch there in South St. Louis, the specification said you have to use American-made products, and we did. And that was when America was great. And we can go on and on and on. And as far as the countries being mad, well, I don't blame them. I would be mad, too, when the United States said that you're going to have to start paying your own way on the United Nations. And another point, people always making these references about these foreign countries that have medical, free medical and so forth. Well, hell, they ought to. If they're not paying for their own defense. Well, the United States has been picking up that tab. So let them pick up their own tab on their defense and let them pick up their support of the United Nations, and we can keep our money in the country and use it to educate children, provide for infrastructure, which I can talk about later on, and that is helping to make America great. Not everybody, like I said, you got those that's transgender, think they're being misused. Well, I'm sorry. Everybody's not going to feel like Trump is good for them. But I like the man. And wait till we start getting school choice. And, you know, Missouri, by the way, is a Republican state, and I'm neither a Republican nor a Democrat. I'm an issue-crat. My same attitude toward guns, immigration reform, tax reform, foreign policy, tariffs, those attitudes I had when I voted for some Democratic candidates also, like Jamila Nasheed and Yafet Alameen, and, you know, Lacey Clay a time or two.
All right. It is what it is. It's Collective Minds Radio. Give us a call. If we got some callers, Tanya, we'll get to them in one second. The number's 929 877-1697. Brother Mufasa, did you want to respond to anything the caller said?
I'm here for the education, so I appreciate.
Well, I have a question.
Education coming from all three of you brothers, so I'm falling back. I'll wait to the end of the show.
I like to ask a question.
Yes. To something that Mr. Pianki mentioned, a genuine question. Now you said that the United States is taking the, you know, covering the tab for the medical. Over in certain foreign countries, and they should, and or they shouldn't have to, or something of that sort. But my question is: is United States paying that tab just to be nice, or do you think something happened where they said, "Well, at least we can do this," or are they just being nice guys about it?
I never said the United States was paying for medical. I said that the United States is providing military protection for NATO countries. And these countries need to be picking up more of their own defense tab. Therefore, less money would be going toward these other things. They would have to raise taxes. Taxes already. Let me tell you something. Electricity in Germany is about 38 cents per kilowatt hour. You know what it is in Missouri? It's about 9-11 cents a kilowatt hour. That's why Americans can mine bitcoins, where citizens in those countries, they can't, because electricity is too high. America is a great place.
Okay, so I'm glad you corrected me, because I wasn't certain. But even still, I guess my question still stands, even for the military. Is the United States choosing to do that just because they're nice guys, or is it a reason that you know of that they have chosen to do that with this, as far as it relates to the military, as far as your comment was?
Well, countries have always looked to the United States as the big guy on the block because of its military. It has the strongest military. It's comparable. Russia is comparable in many areas. So, yes, that's mm-hmm. what they look for.
Okay, so they looking for that. Well, do they? I mean, I'm learning. So this is an actual genuine question, because I'm sure you guys probably know a little bit more about the dynamics of how the country is ran more so than myself. So I'm just,
I was just curious to know why.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't say maybe you should ask Zen that question, being that he's been in the military.
So based off of what Mr. Pianki stated,
I'm hearing some background noise, please. You can mute your line if you're not speaking. Okay, there we go.
Okay, just based off of the statement that Mr. Pianki stated, as far as the military and the support of the United States when it comes as it relates to other countries. I'm assuming you agree with that, and if so, like, what is your perspective? Like, is it just because they're, you know, the United States is just the big guys around, and they're being nice, so they are showing that sort of support to other countries, or is it because that they feel like in some way that they owe them or they should help because of maybe they're getting certain resources from these places? Or, like, what is it that you know?
So I know that for the UN, as a member of NATO and the UN, each of the countries that are inside of that nation are supposed to dedicate at least 2% of their GDP to their military strength. And maybe 3% of those countries actually do it. I think Britain does it, and then America does it, and then France gets close. All the rest rely on Big Brother U.S. to have their back. The UN, again, was established after World War II so that the nations that were, like, just separated from the Ottoman could have, because they were so close to Russia and they were so close to China and so close to the Middle East, that they could form a bond to protect themselves one and another with America's help from communism and future attacks. So they were supposed to build up their armies while America, you know, watched for them. But they decided not to build up their armies, and they focused their money elsewhere. They focused their money in building their economy and trying to make themselves utopias, because they just got – they have this entitled feeling that America's got their back. So they're really discombobulated right now when Donald Trump comes in and says, no, America's doing America, which I find great, because we're in too many little petty wars that don't really need America to be involved in, except for America wants to show its strong arm. So by packing out and having these countries prepare their own militaries, because like what you see in Sweden, what's going on in Sweden right now, they don't have a large military. They have a population 9%, between 8 and 9% population of migrants come into their nation, and they're about to collapse as a country, because these migrants don't want to assimilate. They don't want to adapt to the culture that they're going in. They're trying to make their own nations inside of this nation. And because they don't have a military, like a strong military, they're about to fall apart. But they have free medical, and they have an awesome welfare state, and they're run by females. So it's supposed to be this amazing utopia, but it's falling apart by a 8 to 9% difference in cultural ideology. So Donald Trump says that, hey, America needs to come back and focus on America and its military. He's trying to pull us out of Syria right now. We only have 2,000 soldiers there, but he wants to pull us out. But the whole world is like, no, you got to stay, America, because then Russia will get a foothold. But it doesn't really matter, because Russia's not really going to do that much either with it. They, you know what I mean? They're just trying to put it back together so that they can get out of it and just leave it alone. But to listen to the media and to listen to the news, America's being mean, and Donald Trump's being a bully and taking his ball and his bat and going home. But the point is, United Nations Pact is old. It's not necessary anymore, because Russia isn't the big threat that it used to be. China has some sense of holding itself like in check. And these countries have all been had their opportunity and had plenty of time to rebuild themselves after the war and create their own militaries. And since they chose not to, right, Donald Trump is being the dad and saying, it's time to move out. You've got to get out and grow up. You can't just sit in my house. You're 26-year-old.
Right.
Go get a job. And that's what he's telling these nations.
Right.
And that's why they're all guffawing.
Did that answer you right, though, or was that off? Did you understand what if you get an answer from that you were looking for?
I think I'm still listening, because it sounds like so far that I guess I was just trying to see, do the United States do any type of trade with these places that they're also helping to protect as well, you know? I was just trying to listen to see if there was some other reason why they have, you know, are they just being nice to these places?
Well, let's
not
get into
Let me add a couple things to that.
Yeah. Well, I want to get too bogged down on that. We want to kind of stick with the topic of is Trump making America great for all Americans. Now, give us a call, family. This is Collective Minds Radio. The number is 929-477-1697. Now, when we talk about, foreign policy, right? Now, I'm going to just give y'all three things, and I'm going to let the caller respond to what I just said. But I want to give y'all three things why I think Donald Trump is not making America great for all Americans. I think he's kind of putting us in a dangerous situation. Number one, and this is very symbolic, when he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, you have to understand international politics to know the implications of that, okay? It isolated America, once again, from other countries in the world and who are part of the UN who disagreed with that decision, okay? Number two, he signed a deal to sell $110 billion of arms to Saudi Arabia. Now, if you're not familiar with Saudi Arabia, their human rights violations are so gross, like it can make China look like a cakewalk. You know what I'm saying? Their human rights violations are terrible. Women have just started to be allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, but because Saudi Arabia has a lot of oil and we have a lot of ties with them, you never hear about their human rights violations. Number two, the tariffs that he's putting on the so-called steel and aluminum, it may seem like it's good for America, and it's bringing, you know, it's raising the price of things that, you know, to bring, they can get those supplies from us or whatever the case may be. But it's starting trade wars on a low. You know what I'm saying? Because countries are retaliating. You know, China's hitting us with tariffs. The European Union may hit us with tariffs. So a lot of these things, like I say, we'll see the effects down the line. But those three things right there, I think, were dangerous. And, again, it isolates America and doesn't put us in a favorable light when it comes to foreign policy and dealing with these other countries. Let me address that, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
And on the other, you were talking about the UN, it was the League of Nations that was formed in 1920, and it was formed in order to go against the Warsaw Pact of the Soviet Union, and it became the United Nations right around 1948, right around the time that Israel formed. But no,
correct.
Everything he's doing, everything that he's doing is right on time. Saudi Arabia is a sovereign country, and if that's what they want to do, then leave them alone. I'm sure they will work things out. Another thing.
Oh, but that's not – okay, go ahead. I was going to say, but that's not the approach that they take with these other countries. Look at Saddam.
Well, we're talking about Saudi Arabia.
That's what Saddam wanted to do in Iraq. Why couldn't they just leave him alone?
Well, we're talking about
Saudi Arabia. That was a different president.
Yeah, that was a different president. It was not Donald Trump. Thank you, sir. But I would rather keep the – like they're talking about this news reporter that supposedly got killed, allegedly got killed – I would rather keep the $110 billion worth of weaponry that's putting Americans to job, Americans to work, and also if they don't buy the weapons from the United States, guess where they're going to buy it from? They're going to buy it from Russia, or they're going to buy it from China, or they're going to buy it from Israel, one of the three. And you
money
hit on what are the other things you hit on, the other two?
The tariffs.
Oh, the tariffs and him making Jerusalem him recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
It wasn't
that
he recognized Jerusalem. What he done, he put the United States Embassy in the capital of the country. United States Embassy is in Accra, Ghana, West Africa. United States Embassy is in the capital of Nigeria. United States Embassy is in Lusaka, Zambia.
Well,
that's where you put your embassy.
Right, but it was in Tel Aviv before, I believe, or the West Bank. It was in one of those places.
That wasn't Donald Trump.
Well, that was the decision based on our foreign policy because it was a neutral, quote-unquote, location as opposed to picking a side in a
That's why come he's the special person he is. All that nonsense, he said, the hell with that. Another point, you're talking about the tariffs that other countries are putting on. Right now, the United States have a trade deficit of $852 billion. That means that you got other countries around the world that's selling $852 billion worth of their produced goods, putting their people to work, providing education for their children, providing health and medical for their children, providing a better way of life for their children, and we are not sending them an equal amount. I don't like – I like fair trade. That's what I want, fair trade. And China is right around $400 billion. That is totally ridiculous. China is sending $400 billion worth of their goods and service goods to the United States compared to what we're sending to them. That's wrong. Then you talk about also blacks need to start their own businesses. Well, if you got to go to an Asian to buy wholesale, which they're never going to give you family prices, how are you ever going to compete with that type of racket that's going on? Think about it. So this is helping black businesses to get established when you set the standards. Another point, you had Asian, you have Chinese farmers here, like I mentioned about the hog farmers. But another thing that China needs is soybeans to feed its livestock. China cannot afford to take any of its grain-producing acreage out of production that's used to feed its people. That's why come it imports soybeans from other parts of the world. That's all I have to say on that.
All right. Then you want to respond to those three questions as well? Do you remember the three? You want
well,
to
hold on,
back
hold, on,
off
hold, on
no,
Mufasa. Hold on, Mufasa. Hold on. Let's go to the calls because we're running out of time. Let's try to get at least another viewpoint in here. Let's go to caller area code 901. 907, you on with Collective Minds. You have a question or a comment?
Hello, how you doing? I'm on.
Hello, how you doing, caller?
How you doing?
Hey there, Pianki. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, and I was trying to find your listing at Join Host Live Chat, and I couldn't find you. Sure.
Oh. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But I called your number. Pianki gave me your number, so really I wanted to go that route, you know, so I can see who all in your chat room. I'm a former Blog Talk Radio host myself.
Okay.
And I stayed on there for about 9 years, and I left.
Okay.
But anyway,
did you have any,
here, Perry? And
yeah,
the question is on China. I mean, on Donald Trump. The issue is Donald Trump making things good for all Americans?
Right.
Agreed.
Well, you know, I want to hit on that. I was listening. You know, I got a chance to get in on that when y'all were talking about that. You know, I'm going to have to agree 100% with Pianki. I am because, see, if you look at it, man, the reason why Donald Trump was even elected is because the people of America, especially conservatives and Republicans, got sick of the same old thing. You know, it was a systematic deception that was going on for the longest. When you talk about the trade deficit, it's actually factually true. You know, they can sell their goods, dump their goods over here in America, put American workers out of work, and we still let them do it. You know, we've been doing this for generations, letting them do it. You know, and Israel, like you said, Obama was supposed to do it. Bush was supposed to do it. Clinton was supposed to do it. All of them talked about moving the United States Embassy to Jerusalem.
From Tel Aviv,
you know,
to Jerusalem. From Tel Aviv.
Yeah, they took
to
it out
of Tel
Aviv, moved to Jerusalem. But what the thing that amazes me, if the Palestinians hate the United States and the people in the West Bank and Gaza hate the United States, why would it be a big issue to move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? I can't understand that. I hate you anyway. Why should I care where you move? You know, United States subsidizes the PLO, and Arafat gave him checks. Arafat ripped them folks off, man. He flatfoot stole their money. And when he died, his wife wanted a piece of it, and they finally paid her to shut up. Arafat and the PLO is actually ripping those folks off. Have you noticed that when they send their people out to die in that march protest that they had, you never seen none of the senior leaders out there? You never seen not one of the senior leaders out there. You know,
you
it took me some time to try to understand
minute.
This thing out. You know, and like I said, I have to agree with Pianki on a lot of things because a lot of Americans are really internationally ignorant. We're so inundated with our own personal and local problems, we have no emphasis, we have no focus on the international situation. Like a lot of, I'm not going to try to localize anybody, or if it's a classism type thing, but a lot of people don't pay attention to what happens overseas. They don't give a damn, man. They don't even care. Yet our tax dollars go to subsidize Israel.
It is what it is.
I figured that out. Okay, we'll get Israel $3.5 billion, but they've got a contract where they take that $3.5 billion and buy from United States weapons makers.
All right, Carl, I'm going to hold you right there. Thank you. Appreciate the call. We appreciate it, and you made some good points.
If you're just joining us, family, it's a Collective Mind
Radio. It is what it is.
We are talking about is Donald Trump good for all Americans? Okay. Now, the other thing we can't leave out in foreign policy is the Russian.
Hey, Brother Kev, you ain't let Arthur answer those other three questions.
Okay. I'll get to that. Hold on 1 second. We'll get to that. We got to throw in the Russian collusion part because I think, quote unquote, since America and Russia are enemies, and now it's coming out with all these ties to Russia, how is that benefiting America? Now, Zen, if you want to go in and touch on the three points that I made as far as how I think those foreign policy decisions are detrimental to America, you can go in on that and also touch on the Russia collusion part of the story as well.
All right. Well, we've discussed enough about Jerusalem and Saudi Arabia guns and tariffs. I just go on Saudi Arabia guns things that you brought up. That was passed in that omnibus, that spending bill at the beginning of the year. And a lot of the stuff that happened in that was disagreeable and it was kind of forced down Donald Trump's throat. I mean, he even had to sign off that he wasn't going to participate, put any of the money in our government towards building his wall, the wall that our nation needs. But he focused elsewhere. You know, he enforced he did full enforcement of our immigration practices, which caused all that family separation nonsense to come up because he didn't put that into effect. He just actually enforced the laws that were already written by presidents in the past, mostly Democratic. So I would like, I'll move on to the Russia. Yeah. So we've seen what happens in FBI investigations real recently here with Kavanaugh. So they were able to do two thorough investigations inside of 3 months. Two thorough investigations and clear that man's name.
Thorough is up for debate, but go ahead.
So we've been 2 years into this nonsense with Donald Trump and you know, Russian collusion. So, I mean, don't go down the CNN road right now and waste our time talking about Russia and collusion because it's nonsense and it's just there to waste our time and make us think about other things that aren't as important in our policies and our politics today and to keep our minds distracted.
Indeed. If you just joined us, we're down to the last half hour of Collective Minds Radio. It has been a great, stimulating conversation. We're talking about is Donald Trump making America great for all Americans. I say no, but then we have some callers on the other end that do say yes. Now, here's the other thing. Now, another way we can judge a president, not just a president, but a person, it is by the company they keep, okay, the people you surround yourself by and the company you keep. Trump's cabinet, I think, speaks for itself. For anyone who does research or who's able to look into the background of these people, his cabinet speaks for itself. They are not for all Americans. You see, you got Betsy DeVos, who's the head of education, never been a teacher. You have Rex Tillerson, who's the Secretary of State, Steve Manchin, the Treasury, Jeff Sessions. These people have a long history, and I encourage people to do your own research. Don't just listen to me. Look up the background of these people and see if their policies of anything they've written has been for all Americans. Even when Trump got in office, his right-hand man, his senior chief advisor, is Steve Bannon. Now, if you don't know who Steve Bannon is, then shame on you. You see what I'm saying? But we have to look at the people he's surrounding himself by. Also, his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, is turning on him, basically, if you've been following the news. Paul Manafort, who was his campaign chairman, has been convicted of tax fraud, conspiracy, bank fraud, failure to report a foreign bank account. Like, these are the people he surrounds himself with. These are the people who are around him, and one by one, they're falling off. Who the one lady just resigned? What's her name? She Nikki Haley. who was in charge of the UN or the UN or the U.S. diplomat to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, suddenly resigned. You see what I'm saying? So people are falling off. It's a sinking ship. They know that Trump is really it's just a matter of time, even though I think he will be elected again. I think it's just a matter of time before the walls really start to cave in. But I'll let you guys respond to that as far as the people in his cabinet and the people around him. How can you say that those people are for all Americans?
Well, you didn't ask the question, was those people for all Americans? You asked the question regarding Donald Trump.
And that's why I say it's about the people that surround you as well.
Apparently, see, here's the thing. Everybody is not going to make it. I mean, that's a given. You're going to have some that's going to take advantage, or you're going to have some that's not going to take advantage for whatever reason. Bessie DuVois, I appreciate her. And I really don't understand. Blacks complain about the education of their children, which is deplorable. It's not the children, it's black societies themselves. Nigerians, Argentinians, Eskimos, Afghanistanians, Ghanaians, they are not going to teach your black kids what they need to know to take power from them. Whites are not going to do it neither. Whites, nor are they going to sacrifice their children's inheritance for your kids. You have to do that yourself. And Bessie DuVois is pro-school choice, which allows the parents to take their child and put
it
in the environment that's best suited for their long-term educational plans. Parents can't do like I've done with my grandson, where I pay out $60,000 or more out of my pocket every year for his education. But you have a lot of black kids out there that don't belong in the situation that they're in, and they should have an opportunity to be put where they can be challenged. Here in St. Louis, when you had the deal with Normandy, where Normandy is a failed school district, and a bill that Lacey Clay introduced said that people in failed school districts have a right to put their child in the adjoining school district. In this case, we're talking about Francis Howell. Francis Howell, parents say they don't want them kids out there. But guess what happened? You had parents in Ferguson, Florida. You had parents in Jennings. Rather than send their kids out to Francis Howell, they sent their kids down there on Vandeventer and Enright to Pomosia, that African Center school. That's what I call choice. And Bessie DuVois stands for it. You have the commercial airlines have stated, we are short, we'll be short 250,000 pilots. The military, they're going to be short 8 to 12,000 pilots. Well, should not black parents and black concerns be preparing their children for those jobs? It's not going to happen in a public school. So they're going to have to put their child in a place where they can be pre-prepped, prerequisite for those type of employment concerns. You have five historical black colleges and universities that have a graduation rate above 50% in 6 years. That means that that family is paying 50% more than they normally should. Out of the 115, only five. You got one Lincoln there in Jeff City. It's down to 17%. That is totally ridiculous. Bessie DuVois say, let's have school choice. Trump,
it is what it is.
School choice. Guess who's against it? Maxine Waters, Lacey Clay, your NEA, National Association for National Education Association. American Federation of Teachers.
All right, you got.
I can name
minute.
Them all. NAACP. I'll let that sink in.
Okay,
hey, let's
let
Ben get some of that
because
I know he got
in.
Something to say about Maxine Waters.
When you talk about Donald Trump's staff and the people that surround him, he didn't go after those people to put into his cabinets and put into his circle off of their politics. He actually went outside of politics to find people to fill those roles. He looked for professionals, people that made changes in their perspective fields, because he wants to make a change. He wants to affect an actual change in America. He doesn't want the same old thing that America's been going through, president after president, you know, political party in charge after political party in charge. Donald Trump went out and found successful individuals that he felt he could trust. And when he lost trust with, as you brought up, Bannon, he let Bannon go. He let Bannon go because Bannon was no longer filling the role that he was supposed to fill, and he was causing divisiveness. Donald Trump does not want divisiveness. The Democrats and the media, the Democratic-controlled media, want this all this divisiveness. Donald Trump is putting people in positions that will affect good change for America, not just political change. That's all I have to say about his cabinet and the people he surrounds himself. He's surrounding himself with smart people because he's a smart man.
And, you know, real quick on Russia, American businesses are exporting $11.2 billion worth of goods to Russia, where Russia is importing, or should I say exporting back to the United States, about the deficit is about $15.8 billion. Now, that's closer than many of these other trading partners. And one other thing, United States and Russia is not going to go to war with each other. Russia could destroy the United States 30 times over, and vice versa.
No. I know this because I don't think Russia and the United, they've never been enemies as far as the research that I've done. Never, ever has Russia and the United States been enemies. They have
been
playing
good
cop and bad cop around the world with this capitalism and communism game where they get into these countries, they have these proxy wars like they're doing in Syria. You see, they have a proxy war where they battle it out to see which economic ideology is going to be the lay of the land. So I've never thought
which
they
is why
were
Donald Trump
enemies.
Is trying to pull us out of it.
You see what I'm saying?
He doesn't want
so
to play that
I've
game
never
anymore.
Thought, yeah, I've never thought that they would any. But I do want to touch on a couple of things that the caller said real quick. Pianki was talking about the education. Now, the thing is, you said that as it pertains to St. Louis, just real quick, that the kids from Normandy couldn't go out to Francis House, so a lot of them ended up going to what's the school?
No, I didn't say that.
They ended up going to Pomona.
I did not say that. I said that they have an opportunity to go to Francis House, which the parents out there didn't want them to come. But they did
so
go out there. But
go?
You had parents.
So that's not a choice.
Well, you know, would
you
let me finish saying what I? If you let me finish saying what I said, because apparently you wouldn't.
Down on that. I don't
I'm not getting bogged down on it. But let's set the record straight. Parents in Ferguson, Florida, parents in Jennings chose to put their children down at Pomona rather than send them out to Francis House. That's choice.
Well, it sounds like that was their only option to where they would be wanted. So it doesn't really sound like a choice. But I'm moving on. I digress from that. Now, the previous caller, Zen, said that Donald Trump is not divisive. Now, you have to qualify that statement because, from my understanding, if you look at his campaign trail up to now, it was all about divisiveness. It was all about get these people out of my rally. Back in the day, we would have hung them up and killed, you know, all this type of stuff. He is all about divisiveness. He has a distinct base, and we all know who that base is. Like, let's not play with this thing. You know, you can do that if you want to, but we know who Donald Trump's base is. We've seen the people at these rallies, and we know who they are. You see what I'm saying? So let's not act like just because you say he's not divisive, I think the proof is in the pudding that he ran on a divisive campaign. You see what I'm saying? That's almost universal. His campaign was strictly to regalvanize the poor, quote-unquote poor, disenfranchised white community. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, can I step in now?
Been overlooked. Who they say that again?
I'm ready. I'm
yeah,
ready
he
to,
wants to comment.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah
but you keep going and going.
I'll let you
All right.
I'll let you respond. Go ahead.
All right. So when you look at campaigning, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get an area or a group of people to vote your way. So when you hold these campaign rallies, both sides of or any political party, they vet prior to the campaign meeting starting, and they have certain people in the camera field. And it's a show. campaigning is a show. So when he has these sessions, of course, the crowds are going to be what the crowds that he is trying to get to vote for him look like in those demographics. When he's trying, when he was in California, he got up there with the LGBT flag, and he had a crowd there, and he said, "Yeah, I'm for you guys having your independent rights to do and be as you please." And he's not really, I mean, he's whatever the crowd needs at that moment. All politicians do that. But Donald Trump was trying to win an election, and he had managers setting that stage for him to go in. And now that he has, now that he has his position, he's using it to affect actual change. Now, you can't go off of what people do when they're running the race, because the race is ran a specific way. It's a game, and if you don't play it right, you lose. And what was that for loss for this one was our nation. So Donald Trump had to do what he had to do to get in to affect this change, because he's doing things that nobody likes. Nobody likes Republican or Democratic. So you can't say that his rally shows one thing or another, because it's showing for that demographic.
Indeed, indeed. Let me respond.
Let me comment on the rally, please.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I went to it. I attended his rallies. I don't have no rope burns on my neck. I didn't get lynched.
Say it.
And you know, when I went online and got the ticket, on the back of the ticket, it told you what's allowed in the rallies, in the auditorium. You can't come in there with signs. You had people unflurrying hidden signs in his rally. There was a lot of other things that you couldn't do. Those people that broke the rules should get the hell out of there. That's what. They should get out of there. You had marchers in Portland. You talked about Antifa. Why is it that Antifa always got to have masks on covering their face and their identity? Why did they try to interrupt that one group that was marching peacefully? And believe it or not, Antifa got their ass whooped. And I'm happy to see that. I almost wanted to go to Portland and get in on that fight.
That's funny. All right, well, that's good. We'll leave that right there. Now, just real quick, because we're coming down to the last 9 minutes of the show. This has been Collective Minds Radio. But real quick now, because I hear this a lot, too, that Donald Trump is not your typical politician, and he's trying to buck the system and this and that. However, he does the same things that typical politicians do. Notably, he lies a lot. Now, we can't ignore the lies that this man has put on the table, which is what politicians do. And like the caller's in, I guess, said, he ran on a campaign trying to cater to whoever, which is what politicians do. So it seems to me he's doing a lot of the things that politicians do. He's not really bucking the system. You see what I'm saying? He's just going along trying to position himself and his family for the next 10, 20, 30 years down the line. This is what he's doing. So it's not about he cares about America. He cares about the middle or lower class. No, it's not it. He cares about Donald Trump and his family. And like I said, he's doing the things that typical politicians do, which is lie and lie and lie. You see what I'm saying? So,
Brother Kev,
you know, like
show me a man or a woman that does not lie. Show me a man or a woman that does not lie.
I agree.
Show me a dog.
I agree.
Even dogs lie.
Well, let me respond on that,
that's
please.
That's not the point. That's not the point. But he blatantly lies on policy issues. He lies on people, different programs, different. His numbers are not right. Like, this man lies a lot. Yeah, we all tell lies. I get that. We all human. But when you're in that position,
yeah, you said that, Kevin. Let me respond to that, because you're running out of time.
You have to fact check if you're going to be.
Let me make a comment on that.
Public.
You know,
go ahead.
Trump stuck to his campaign issues. That's what caused me to vote for him. That's what called people to come out and vote for the man. His campaign issues. A wise person will change course when they see the direction that they're going is not conducive to what they want the outcome. So you can call them lies. I call them course corrections. You made mention about him calling African shitty. No, he was talking about the conditions, which I have experienced know very well of, especially in West Africa, matter of fact, Ethiopia, and also in Egypt. But Egypt's not as bad. But, you know, they got some crazy, nasty conditions that goes on there. It's not the people. It's the leadership and the things that they contend with.
All right. We got to leave it there, y'all. We got 6 minutes left. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. I want to thank our special guests, our callers, all our supporters, Collective Minds Radio. We will be back next week. Now, Mufasa Riser, did y'all want to get a last word in before we close the show?
Well, I'll just say something really quick. I'd like to thank our guests for calling in, too. Everybody made some great points, very informative. It sounds like now I may come from a different perspective because, like I was trying to be clear before, my criticism of Trump is more so just my concern of his behavior and not thinking that he's qualified to run the country. I think by him being a businessman, okay, he may, display some good traits, I guess, as far as business-wise, because I heard everybody talking about how he the trade and the benefits that you guys mentioned. All those things are great. I'm still concerned, even if you guys are totally right about what you're saying, that does not set me at ease with my concern with him being a president, because I would still much rather someone that's overseeing me just be a little more pleasant with his spirit, and I just don't see that from him. So I just wanted to just kind of just say that. I appreciate everything that you guys said. It was very informative, like I said before, but I'm still not at ease. Even if I totally agree with what you guys said or you guys are right, it doesn't satisfy me as far as him just still being the president, though. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, all right.
Well, as far as Brother Mufasa go, I also want to thank the guests for coming on, Brother Zen, Brother Bianchi. And hopefully we can have this conversation again because we left a lot on the table. There's a lot left we got to discuss. But I want to say, as far as Roger go, and this ain't a jab, Roger, you get me late on this, but we had Obama who was eloquent and a smooth talker, and he didn't get us nothing. So to me, hey, that don't really mean nothing.
But we're not talking about Barack Obama right now. We're not talking about Barack right now. No, we're talking about Trump. No, you mentioned Barack, but we're not talking about Barack. We're talking about Trump.
But who is us?
You sound like Trump right there. You got a little emotional. You jumped all over.
Yeah, because you bring up because you address something that I said, but you.
It seems like
no, I'm clearing something up.
I wanted to
clear something
I'm getting nervous. I'm feeling uncomfortable.
That's fine.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Because you know you said something that was just
ridiculous. I'm feeling uncomfortable
right
now.
Because you said something that was just totally off. It made sense to me.
Yeah,
I was talking specifically about Trump.
You'd rather have an eloquent devil than a brash angel.
No, I didn't say that. No, that's not what I said. I didn't
say
that.
I'm gonna
say
this.
Anybody to speak for me? I can
speak for myself.
That's not what I said.
Y'all only got
3 minutes.
Yeah,
you Southern girls know what your mama told you about them slick talking Northern City Boys.
From Chicago. Them long-legged Mac Daddy.
I can be more clear.
So, like I was saying, we didn't get nothing from a smooth talker. So now maybe we need to hear my opinion about Barack first.
Don't just assume anything.
Okay, Trump.
I can speak clearly for myself.
I got you, Miss Trump. I got you, little Trump.
Don't speak for me.
Sound like you're getting a little, you know, hostile. I'm getting nervous. So when you say,
I don't care.
So, you really sound like Trump. See, you might as well
just
come on board with the Trump Nation.
Just finish up,
Mufasa.
I feel like you don't have anything
to
say now because you keep talking about me. Say what you're going
to
say.
We're done.
Well, never mind. I'll digress.
Exactly. Just like
I'm
thought you didn't
right
have
now.
Anything to
I'm
say.
I'm nervous.
Exactly.
I'm nervous.
Just as I thought.
I'm nervous. I see how them Democrats
yeah.
are. Woo, good Lord.
Who's a Democrat? Are you assuming that I'm one?
You know what? Funny
hey,
you said that.
Collective mind.
Thanks everybody for calling in. Check us out next week. We have another good topic, another good show.
Stand on your square. We on the earn. We about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Like